Dr. Samuel Escobar at Panama City. We're talking about polycentric mission at the World Evangelical Alliance Missions Commission 2016 conference here in Panama City. It's great to have Dr. Samuel Escobar with me, and he's been a great inspiration for me. His writing, his teaching, his passion for the global mission, and his understanding particularly over the Latin world and its global engagement. So, Dr. Escobar, tell us about what you're seeing in the world as a result of migration and scattering of people, particularly Hispanic world, Latin world.
Fine. Well, I live now in Valencia, in Spain, and for the last 15 years or so, there has been a strong migration from Latin America to Spain. Because of the language, Latin Americans who come to Europe choose Spain. And we have a strong presence of Colombians, Ecuadorians, Peruvian, and they are, some of them integrate into the Spanish churches, Spanish evangelical churches. Others cannot integrate. So in spite of the same, speaking the same language, they sometimes tend to find difficult to overcome other cultural aspects which are different. And so we have several ethnic churches, Colombians, Ecuadorians, especially those two groups. But you know, immigration in Spain is also from people from Eastern Europe. So we have Romanians, and those are, I think, the largest. The number is Romanians, but there are also people from Bulgaria, and some of them have brought churches. So there is a presence of migrants who also become missionaries in their own way. The Protestant minority in Spain is rather small, but with the presence of all these foreigners, it has been growing, and it has become more, you know, people notice now that there is a Protestant presence, and
And what are you seeing in the recent refugee crisis, the war and instability in the Middle East, and particularly Iraq and Syria? We're seeing a large crisis, greatest humanitarian crisis of our times, refugees moving into whole of Germany and Greece. And so how is Spain affected, France, and are they coming there? And what are you seeing God do among the refugees?
Well, the economic situation of Spain is not as good as that of Germany or even France. So there is less of a migration of that kind to Spain. However, still there are refugees. There are people who come in ships, you know, or small boats.
From Morocco,
but many of them are Africans, or Syrians also, and that's a continuous, you know, number of people coming. And in terms of responding to the needs of this critical situation, I admire the way in which the Protestant churches in Spain have responded. They have responded with a humanitarian aid and without debating it. They have responded according to their needs and beyond, I mean, to their possibilities, and beyond their possibilities also, because the government has, for instance, food to be distributed, but they don't have enough agencies doing that. And so now many churches are doing that. And So Spain is a kind of laboratory for migration and the way it affects the churches.
And here at this conference, we've been talking about polycentric mission. And in your talk, you mentioned about mission from the margins.
Yes.
Margins becoming new center. And,
yes.
And Professor Walls have talked about this. And so in light of migration and diaspora, what are you seeing? What are these margins, the new immigrants and new vitality among the immigrant churches
yes.
in Spain or in EU?
Well, as I watch the reality of Spain today, I look back in history and I find out that migration movements have always been related to mission. You know, sometimes when we study the history of missions, we study those that went intentionally as missionaries, but we haven't sometimes had enough information about the non-formal way in which migration took place. Now, for instance, reading again a bit of history, I found out that in the second century, what is France today, which was Gaul in the British, in the Roman Empire, it was Gallia, Gaul, was evangelized by Syrian merchants who went there, you know, as part of their business. And the same with the oldest church in India.
Yeah, they came to India too.
That's it.
They established
Syrians.
Churches. Yeah, they came for spice.
Yeah. So there is a kind of element of mystery in the way in which God chooses some people like that, you know, who become missionaries in their own way. And maybe we know about British missionaries or American missionaries, but there have been this other kind of missionaries who didn't go with an intention of becoming missionaries, but they became, in the most natural way, missionaries.
And you told the story of the Chinese diaspora in Spain.
Yes.
Would you kind of elaborate on that?
And yes.
Who the Chinese are, how they came up there and established these churches, now seminary?
Yeah. Well, I think that is another phenomenon which is part of our contemporary situation. It's the existence of the diasporas. You know, there is, for instance, there is a Filipino diaspora and many women that go to work in Arab nations become missionaries, you know, in their own way, in the not as formal missionaries, but they are missionizing. And the same with the Chinese. There is a strong Chinese presence in Spain, in business, you know. If you are going to start a business and you can pay, you get quickly your residence papers, permits. And there are many Chinese, many. And this experience of the seminary in Barcelona, near Barcelona, which is an evangelical seminary that has a very nice campus, but they were having economic problems and they were at the point of closing the campus. And then the Chinese came and they asked if they could have contract a way of using the facilities. What for? To train Chinese to evangelize the Chinese who are in Europe. They want to evangelize Europe. So this is the Chinese diaspora evangelizing in Europe and saving a seminary from extinction.
You know?
Tremendous. Amazing. Yes.
And the founders of that seminary would have never foreseen a day where Chinese will come and train Chinese to reach the Europeans.
You are right. I wrote that.
Yeah, yeah.
I wrote that.
Yeah.
That when it happened, that those who created that seminary 40 years ago or so never would have thought that it was going to be a place to train Chinese people. And the interesting thing is that when they graduated the first promotion after 3 years, the first promotion of graduates, you know, 400 Chinese came from all over Europe for that graduation. So it's what the Lord is doing. Surprises for us.
So why, as a mission historian, missiologist, we should closely track people movements?
Because God
seems to be on the move, with the people on the move, God is doing something new.
Yeah.
So we should study, understand migration closely.
And sometimes those movements do not get into the, let's say, the textbooks of mission history. We have to, you know, we have to find out. Of course, you have some large histories of missions, like the one by La Tourette, seven volumes. He mentions some things, but in the textbooks of history of missions, you don't find much about these people
migration movements.
Another case that we have in Spain are the Gypsies. You see, the Gypsies went to France. They go every year to work in the harvest in France. And so there was a movement of, you know, spontaneous evangelization and growth among the Gypsies in France. So these Gypsies from Spain go to France to work some months of the year. Some of them become Christian. They return in the spontaneous way. They start to evangelize, and the Lord blesses them, so that today there are more Gypsy churches. The number of people in the Gypsy churches is larger than the number of people in the traditional Protestant churches.
So how do the Spaniards see this indigenous, native to Spanish people? Now there are Chinese coming there, people from Central America, Latin America coming there. Is there a kind of, once we were the great Spanish empire, we conquered the seas, conquered Latin America, put our language there, civilized them. So how do they see people coming back? How do they perceive you when you go back and want to live in Spain?
As
an American,
that is a bit more subtle, because Protestants have always been a persecuted minority in Spain. So they have not identified with this triumphalistic history of the conquerors and this history of the evangelization of Latin America. We have not bought that legend, so to say. The tendency has been for Protestants to accept what is called the Black Legend, and according to which the conquest of the Americas was a terrible thing, it was done by force. And you know, you go back to the 16th century in Spain, there were these debates. Could we use the force to evangelize people? There's a famous Bartolomé de las Casas, a famous Dominican priest, who wrote against what the Spanish were doing. He was very critical of the conquest. And then there is a subtle debate in which they said, the opposers of Bartolomé de las Casas, they said, we don't use violence to evangelize, but the gospel is something so elevated, so sublime, that these people have to be civilized first and then evangelized. And to civilize them, we can use force. You see?
Yeah.
The philosophy in Spanish is primero vencer, después convencer, which means first you win, and then you convince. Yes.
Oh, you see,
the word would be defeat, and then you convince. It's interesting that a theologian of liberation, Gustavo Gutierrez from Peru, in 1992, for the fifth centenary of the discovery of America, you know, 1992, because it was in 1492 that Columbus made that trip. So, in the centennial, this theologian, Gutierrez, wrote a book about Las Casas. But it's a very good study about how the theology of conquest developed. You know, all the discussions and the debates. And Bartolomé de Las Casas, who was this Dominican who was critical of the conquest, he wrote a book which is called Mankind is One. Humankind is One. You know, La Humanidad es Una. And it was a very well-argued defense of a more Christ-like evangelization method. And when we go back in history, we find these people movements, these surprises of God.
Thank you very much for your thought and your time. Would you say a prayer for the migrant communities all over Europe and, the Hispanic world?
And the same is happening in England.
Yeah.
Now, in England today, in London, one of the largest evangelical churches is Spanish-speaking. It's a fellow who went as a missionary from Peru. No, Peru, in comparison with England, you know, Peru is a poor country. He went as a missionary to England. And now this is one of the largest evangelical churches in England. So those things are happening. It's the way God moves, and we have to be attentive and learn to read the signs of the times. Now the diasporas, for me that's something I'm studying and gathering information about, it because it's one of the trends today which is important. It is important.
Would you say a prayer for the diaspora communities around the world?
Yes, and the church? Yes. Yes, do you want to pray?
Pray, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us, for your mysterious way of doing things sometimes that surprise us. We praise your name and thank you, Lord, because your plans are not our plans always. And we ask that you will make us attentive to what is going on in the world. And we pray especially for the diasporas, for those that have had to leave as refugees, but also those who look for a better life and move to Spain, to Europe, in search for jobs, and become at the same time, oh Lord, active in the missionary methods and the missionary ways that they want to do in obedience to you. I pray, Lord, that you will continue to use these means and help those of us who study mission. Help us, Lord, to see your hand and how we can cooperate with what is taking place. Because we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Thank you very much.